All right, 322, Carton Show, Big Mac. So the GL and GLC means Geländewagen, which is, I guess, German for something, meaning off-road vehicle or SUV. The C is the class it's in. So GLC would be Geländewagen C-Class.
Geländewagen.
GLE would be Geländewagen E-Class.
You say.
So now we learned that. So thank you to PD Pablo Alonso, who checks it on Twitter with that. And to be fair, because Chris Jensen says, Bart Scott said he only refuses to tip in the work garage, but he does tip in a personal garage.
Okay.
It's like if he and his wife go out for dinner and they park in a garage, they'll tip. But if he's coming to work, his feeling was work should pay for the garage. I agree 100%, by the way. Let me know when we can work that out.
Yeah, please.
I'm in on that.
I'm in on that, too, circling this place, especially Wednesdays. Wednesdays are the worst.
Yeah. So anyway, now we got to the bottom of that.
We do have Yankee news just real quick.
Good or bad?
Bad.
Wait, let me guess. Giancarlo Stanton fell going for a walk to his mailbox, and now both calf muscles are out.
He fell down. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it, actually.
Remember I said he was going to hit 30 home runs.
I actually don't remember when you were here or not here.
Stop it. It was a week.
But first off, you said he's going to play like 140 games this year.
Yeah, I was way off on that
one. And hit 40 home runs. Were you here when we saw the video of him running the bases?
Yes. Oh, no, I might not have been. No.
That's what I forgot. So he, maybe it was a week and a half ago.
He looked good running the bases.
He ran the, he was like a jog around the bases.
Oh, yeah, no, I was here because we joked that maybe
he's not
stepping on the bag. Because
he couldn't step on the bag. We confirmed that.
They told him not to step on the
bag.
They
were so worried about that inch that he might step on it and fall. And he did.
He did. I know. Frustrating. And I disagree. We don't have to do it now, but I do disagree with you. I want that. Even if it's a bench piece, that guy has been so clutch for them. I was needing him in that.
All right, so what's the bad news today? It's, what do you got?
Fernando Cruz on the IL.
Oh, that's not bad news.
That is bad news. I know he hasn't pitched
He's
well
terrible.
Through the game last night.
He was awful.
He hasn't been great for the last couple weeks. He was having a phenomenal year. He's an important piece of a short pen. They need him. They need him to be better than he's been.
At least
they
gave up three consecutive home runs, I guess, so he's getting better.
No, I mean, listen, he's struggled as of late. He's struggled.
He's been off
for a little bit, but he's been a huge part
of
his
team. Would you trust him in a wild card game?
I
wouldn't.
I mean, for certain situations, to get in and out of jams and get strikeouts, it's what he's done all year. It's what he's done all year. I don't love giving him an inning, but they had no choice. That's the part.
No?
Like, where are they going now?
Yeah. Who are they bringing up?
They're bringing up Michael Fulmer.
Former Met?
Former Met, traded to the Tigers all those years ago. So he's coming
pathetic.
Up. He hasn't pitched much at all as of late. I mean, I don't think he's long served, but it's probably just the
roster spot.
The roster spot, quick reaction. They're waiting on Clark Schmidt. They're waiting on Luis Gil. One of those two are going to have to be major impact arms for this Yankee bullpen. They're in desperate need of it. In desperate need of it.
I mean, you're talking three outs. You're talking like seventh inning, sixth inning, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Right now, who do they have?
For that specific spot?
Blackburn and Hedrick.
Yeah, Hedrick's been taken out last night.
Last night was awful.
Hedrick's been arguably the best middle reliever in baseball.
Yeah, he's not even a middle reliever anymore. He's a back end of the pen reliever.
He's your eighth inning guy now, don't you think?
No doubt.
Yeah. So it's him into Bednar.
Him and Blackburn. The righty,
I mean, Bednar can get four outs if he had to.
Yeah, no, but it's Blackburn the righty, him the lefty, and Bednar.
Right,
those
I agree.
Are the three. That's it.
Right.
You don't trust Hill anymore, really, to get big outs or give an inning.
He's not pitching in October.
If he gets a lefty, I mean, he'll have to pitch in October. They only have three, four arms. He's pitching in October.
They're trying to shorten the games old school style.
Yeah, you're going to have to rely on your starters and push them more, no doubt.
Starters give you six, then you're pretty locked
in. Down, whatever you think about how he's pitched over the last... However you think about how he's pitched over the last few weeks, they needed him. This is a devastating blow.
Let's do some Giant football with you today. We'll get to Jackson Dart coming up in a bit. But happy to have the starting fullback for your beloved New York Giants, Patrick Ricard, joining us now. Pat, it's Craig and Chris here on The Fan. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Thank you for
joining us.
Appreciate
you.
Yeah.
Awesome. I first learned your name when I was doing TV with Mark Schlereth, and he said, there ain't nothing like a 320-pound fullback leading the way for the running game. So you got a big fan in Mark. Give me your thoughts on the other running backs in that room and what you think of Tracy and Scataboo and now Singletary, now Najee Harris. What do you think about the room based on other places you've been and other running backs?
Yeah, I mean, I've I've had a lot of great running backs in my career, you know, with Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Derrick Henry, and, you know, being here, I feel like it's a lot. I see a lot of similarities. I see a young group for the most part that is just physical and hungry and just wants to play hard. And, you know, it's exactly kind of football I want to be a part of. And so, you know, so far so good of just getting the chemistry of just how we want to play and what we see together.
Do you see similarities in the Ravens offense with the style of play? I'm not going to compare Jackson to Lamar. That's an unfair comparison. He's only in his second year. But when John Harbaugh called you and said, I want you to come over with me to New York, and I've got a kid who's got similar capabilities as Lamar Jackson, now that you've been through essentially an entire training camp, do you see the similarities that coach might have talked to you about prior to coming here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar offense in the sense of, you know, the run game is Greg Roman, and that's exactly the kind of run game we had in Baltimore. He was the run game coordinator, turned the OC, and then when he left, they kept the run game similar. So in that sense, it's very similar. But yeah, I mean, you look at Jackson, he's a young quarterback who I think there's similarities between him and Lamar. I'm excited to work with him and see how he does in year two. I mean, Lamar, year two, MVP. So, you know, why can't something like that happen with Jackson?
Yeah, Craig mentioned you came over here with Coach, obviously years with John Harbaugh. How has camp been? Is it just Baltimore, New York, or has the coach changed? How has the camp been with the coach making the transition from being the Baltimore Ravens head coach to the New York Giant head coach?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities. I think, if anything, it's actually been a tougher camp than I remember. You know, first days we went to pads, we were pads 5 out of 6 days to start camp when we went to pads. I think it's just hard just trying to just set the tone of what he expects out of us and the identity of his team. Wants a physical group, so, you know, we have to be in pads to be physical. But, yeah, I mean, camp's been real similar. It's definitely been one of the tougher camps, in my opinion, since my 10th John Harbaugh camp, so.
Yeah, this Giant player call is sponsored by Windorama. First down deals, 30% off your installation project, plus low to no financing.
Talking to Patrick Ricard, starting fullback for the Giants. What's your thought on Friday night against the Jets? Are we going to see the number one offense out there for a couple series, even a half? Has Coach told you guys what the plan is yet?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know. We don't even know until the day of. So we're just all preparing. We're all playing. We're all starting. And, you know, whenever I'm on the football field for a game, I'm all in. I'm trying to pancake dudes. I'm trying to set the tone. So, you know, that's where my mindset's at right now.
And are you one of these guys 10 years in where it's a pain in the ass? Or do you look forward to playing in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, you want to be smart. You want to be safe, right? Because you want to make sure you're ready to go when the season comes. So sometimes it's nice to go out there and get some reps against, you know, a live environment versus just practice. But yeah, like I said, whenever I'm able to play in the games, I'm letting it rip.
You know, I'm curious, Patrick. Not a lot of fullbacks. You know, it's kind of gone away from the fullback position a little bit in the NFL over the last handful of years. You know, not many teams even implement one. What is your thought just on your position involved in the run game, maybe your position inside this offense? And why do you think that the fullback position has been lessened inside the NFL a little bit?
I think the reason why the position's not used as much, because it's hard to find guys like me. It's hard to find guys like Kyle Juszczyk that you can just be so dimensional and so dominant in what we do and the kind of offenses that teams want. So I think it's simpler for teams just to not use them, because it's hard to find that kind of player that will fit that system. You know, like for a Greg Roman run game or John Harbaugh offense, they want a really physical fullback, and I'm 300 pounds, so it's hard to find someone my size, my physicality, that can have success in this type of system. And then on the flip side, with Kyle Juszczyk, he's a very, you know, nimble, gadgety kind of guy that can do everything, run routes, have ball skills and all those things, where it's hard to find a guy like him. I mean, you know, he's, I don't know, 10 plus Pro Bowls, and he's going to year like 15. So it's just, I think it's the real reason. It's just hard to find and implement. So teams just rather not do it. And if you can, you're going to have a lot of success.
Talking to Pat Ricard, known as Pancake Pat, for his ability to drop dudes right where they stand. You know, you were in Baltimore for a good amount of time, like I said. And you even said Derrick Henry, a brilliant running back. Lamar Jackson, a 2-time MVP. What ultimately do you think went wrong in Baltimore, where you guys weren't able to get over the hump of, you know, getting to a Super Bowl? The one AFC championship game, of course, you guys lost at home. Can you put your finger on why a team with that much talent wasn't ever able to put it all together and get to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, right? Like, if I had the answer, I think I would have won multiple Super Bowls at this point. I think it's just, you know, we get in those games, we just have to make the plays, let them come to us. You know, we've had really unfortunate turnovers, drops, defense not able to apply pressure or get, you know, turnovers on that side of the ball. And, you know, if you look at all of our losses, that's what it really comes down to is the turnovers and the drops on both sides of the ball.
Right. And obviously that game against the Buffalo Bills, everyone blamed Mark Andrews. He had a bad fourth quarter there, but to blame him for that loss is crazy. But it seemed like as soon as you guys got close, something crazy happened that went wrong that prevented you guys from getting over, whether it was the Bills or obviously Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Do you see outside of Jackson what you saw in the Baltimore locker room when you look around the room and you see guys that have bought in to the coach's way of doing things, that this giant team has the talent in that locker room to be a postseason team?
Yeah, I mean, when I first came here, I just saw how close this team was. I saw how hungry they were to want to be coached, want to play hard, want to be coached hard. And I think that's exactly what you need to have success throughout the season and just, you know, stay together and keep trying to get better and, you know, stay humble, stay hungry. You know, in Baltimore, we've had so much success over the years that it was really expected. And, you know, maybe guys got a little, you know, complacent. And I'm not saying we did necessarily, but when you have a team that is very hungry and wants to win because they haven't had that kind of success of, you know, making the playoffs and going, you know, guys win MVPs or guys winning rushing titles and all these all-pro players. Like, there are guys here, but I feel like as a team in general, you just feel the hunger, you feel the want, and I feel like they've really been buying into what Favre wants out of this team, and it's been a lot of fun to be a part of. You know, I've been in Baltimore for 9 years, so now to be a part of this, it's almost reinvigorating my career, so I'm excited to see how we play this Friday and then going into week one.
Before we let you go, there was a report that when you did make it official that you were going to come with Coach and become a New York Giant, that you shed a tear because of the respect you had for the Ravens as an organization, for the city of Baltimore. There's also a report that it dawned on you you're going to have to live in New Jersey. So I'm trying to figure out, were the tears because you had to live in New Jersey or the tears because you loved Baltimore?
No, no. No, I mean, I lived there for 9 years, right? I was an undrafted D lineman out of Maine, and then for me to be in one place with one team for 9 years, and I thought my career was going to be there the whole time and end there. So for me to have the realization, like, wow, like, I'm not coming back there, like, it just kind of hit me, right? Because, like, there's so many memories of my family. You know, I got engaged there, I got married there, I had my first kid there. I had just so many memories making the team, you know, just all the different teammates, all the different staff, the area, the community, and now it's like it just stops, right? So it's just like kind of hits you, and then, you know, and then I'm excited for what to come. And now, honestly, I've been loving Jersey. I'm from Massachusetts, so it's only a couple of hours from where I'm from, so I'm closer to friends and family, and I'm loving the area. There's a lot to do, and you know, so far so good. It's been a good change, but yeah, it's just a lot of emotions hit you when you realize, like, I'm not going back there. I'm not going to see those people again. I'm not going to, you know, put all that blood, sweat, and tears that I had been for the last 9 years, and it's all good. You know, I'm looking forward to it, and it's been a good chance so far.
Craig asked you earlier about Dart and his style of play. A lot has been made about his staying healthy, right? He already had Tracy miss the block, and he got hit in the early in the preseason and sent to the blue 10. So much about keeping him on his feet. As a fullback and a, you know, someone in the pass protection, has that been a major focus with trying to keep Jackson Dart protected? And obviously, how have you seen Jackson Dart kind of, because he's been shown frustration with it, what's been the talk around, what have you seen from him as far as making sure Jackson Dart stays healthy into the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think any offense, you want to do everything you can to keep a quarterback clean. You know, it's a new system, we're all learning together, and so we're all trying to do the best we can in terms of just our assignment and who we're blocking. You know, I think it's like that with any quarterback. You know, I think Jackson, he plays a lot of passion. He wants to get yards, and obviously, you know, he's continuing to learn in this league of how to protect himself, because he's a great quarterback in my opinion. And if you want to play a long time, you just have to be smart, be safe. You know, I looked at it with Lamar. I mean, Lamar, he would run all the time. And, you know, sometimes he learned how to, like, it's almost like he learned how to not run full speed to where he's able to, like, stop and fall at different angles and take hits off his body, because, you know, they can wear on you. I feel like that's just something you just navigate and you learn as you keep going. But, you know, as an offensive standpoint, we always want to protect everybody. So,
final question for you before we let you go. You were in Baltimore when OBJ had a cup of coffee with the Ravens. It looks like he's going to make this team. I know Coach said this morning that he's going to play against the Jets on Friday, his last little audition, but he looks like OBJ 5 years ago. Gets open. I know he wanted to have that one catch in the back of the end zone the other day, but he looks smooth. He looks like the athlete we remember him to be. You saw him a few years ago in Baltimore. You see him up close again now. Are my eyes deceiving me, or am I right that OBJ looks like he can still be a productive NFL player?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think just from, you know, being his teammate a couple of years ago and seeing him now, it doesn't look like he lost a step. If anything, he looks hungry. He looks like he's playing in preseason games in fourth quarters. He's throwing his body into blocks, trying to spring runs in the run game. Like, he wants to play. He wants to be here. And I'm just, you know, so it's kind of corny, but I'm, like, proud of him almost. It's just trying to, you know, at this point in his career, trying to keep playing. And, you know, he's, you know, looked at as like a household name, a legend in so many people's eyes. And for him to be playing preseason games, trying to make a roster in year, I don't even know what it is, 12, 13 for him. It's just, you know, you admire that, you know, especially me being a teammate of his a couple years ago. And, you know, I'm excited for him, you know, hope the best of luck with him. But yeah, I mean, he looks good. He looks good.
If you got into a one-on-one drill against Derrick Henry, who wins?
It'll be a tie.
Yeah. Patrick, appreciate your time. Good luck in your first year for the New York Giants. And we appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Patrick Ricard, starting fullback. You're right, though, Big Mac. Not a lot of fullbacks these days.
No.
In the NFL. And he's an all-pro fullback.
Yeah, and I found his answer to be interesting, because it's not like he didn't say that he thinks the NFL has gotten away from it for a scheme purpose. It's more just the idea that players capable of doing what he does are scarce.
He's 300-pound fullback.
Yeah. Because it's kind of vanished for the most part. There's a handful of them at max. Like, I think there's only, I was looking into it, I think there's like 11 teams in the NFL that even roster one, let alone use him regularly. So, like, the position's kind of gone away, but the Giants are looking to really have this heavy, heavy run game. And plus, you know, whenever a coach comes to a new place, you want to have a couple of guys, and that just feels like a lunch pail guy. He knows exactly how camp goes, and someone perfect to kind of help the running back room along.
By the way, the two key guys that they brought in, I mean, Filele is gone already, is obviously you bring Ricard in, who's a great blocker,
yeah,
and you bring in Likely, who's going to be, I think, the main target